Let us pledge to each other, with this great lady looking on, that we can, and so help us God, we will make America great again.
And we will make America great again!
All right, good evening. It is Monday, August 20th, 2018, and you are listening to Patriots Fight, our conservative talk program here on Mental Brick Radio. And we're glad to be back from the weekend, and we've got some Q updates, and we've got a lot of conversation. And you'll notice the title of the program tonight is Patriots Fight with Tribunals, because right out of the gate, we're going to talk about all the masses of stuff that maybe people haven't caught on yet about how all of this stuff is going to come down. So let me get my guys on here. How are y'all doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Patrick.
Good.
No, I yeah, came we got last Patrick. Second. I apologize.
No, you're good. Hey, late is better than not here at all. And we appreciate having you. But yeah, it's a guy's night for a change, and we appreciate that. Not that others aren't invited, but, you know, every once in a while we need more testosterone than we get on here. But, no, we were talking, Patrick, I mean, since you dropped in kind of late on this, we were talking about basically the activity of things. And it started off, Storm, with you talking about the level of the chemtrails that were going on there, you know, in California for you. And that got us off on the conversations about different copters and things that are going around, at least here. And there's a lot of, you know, here in North Texas, I mean, it's typical for us to see a lot of military things in certain parts of the area. But when we start seeing larger transport copters and things of that nature floating around in my neck of the woods right now, they've ramped up. You know, they're doing more. And I've noticed that in the last few days. And of course, you know, if you're seeing that in a little bit of the news, but mostly through social media and through Q and things, you're kind of getting the sense that things are ramping up in general for military being deployed, not overseas, but down to Gitmo. And, you know, and you know, that in the past, when people would joke around about Gitmo, it was this thing, oh, yeah, right, okay, whatever. And no, it's real. I mean, this is bona fide. They are upsizing. They are expanding the Hilton in Gitmo. They're preparing for some stuff. And
yeah, they're expecting an influx of in.
They are. They're making room for more folks down there. And you know, in the past when we told people things like that, I don't know what happened to y'all, but I would get looks from people like, yeah, right, okay. None of these people are going to be gotten for that kind of stuff. They only send, like, military criminals down there. And that kind of led Storm and I talking about how they people don't understand, and I don't think we did really until just recently, that most of what is going on right now really is military-grade issues. And you throw in there the fact that we know that come January 1st of next year, the court-martial rules that have been put into place go active. The newer updates go active. And so that takes you to the word tribunal. We're talking military-related court system, not your general public court. And because the things that are going on are military-grade. So not
and
only...
when you look...
Oh, go ahead.
No. Finish your thoughts.
Well, sorry. I was just going to say that, I mean, we're stepping into grounds that we have not had, that there's at least two generations, if not three generations, we're not familiar with it. We're expecting public court kind of mayhem and the way that it works politically and all of that, and it doesn't work the same way in the military. And yet that's probably what we're about to see come 2019, is military-grade legal activity, and it's a totally different beast. We don't even know how to interpret it. So, politically, legally, emotionally, we haven't been there. I mean, my grandparents' generation remember it from World War II. But that's really the last time we've really had serious cases of that. I mean, maybe there was a little bit in Vietnam. But not really.
And what I was gonna say, Mantle, when you look through that lens, you understand why, by hook, by crook, by incendiary defamation of fake news, by whatever they can do, they must do what they can to regain the House, regain seats, and impeach this guy. Because if they don't, it's over.
That's right.
January 1st, it's over.
Yep.
When you look at it, like, because I just recently read that thing again, the executive order and the court martial.
Right.
And I was reading, and I was telling my wife, this is it. This is it. The day this went into the White House website, went up for people within Congress and outside of it, the alarms were, you know, blaring everywhere.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, we either take this guy out or we are going out. Because if he goes to military tribunal, it's not the same system. Mm-mm. It's not ACLU watching our backs. It's not the judges that we have in our pockets.
That's right.
Delaying and extending trials for 10 years where we get to wear an ankle bracelet and go to the beach.
Right.
It's real.
And who is it that's in charge of that particular operation? The commander-in-chief. And what did we have? What did we have from Trump? He just spoke with law enforcement and so forth, and he was reminding people that he loves being their commander-in-chief. He's using that term. He's throwing that out there. He's reminding people right now at this time that that's his role. It's one of his roles.
Right.
So he's
now it's wonderful.
He's being subtle, but it's there. Yeah, I mean, it's like this is it. This is going into Trump's court, so to speak. Not that it's about biasing it. It's just this is more his beast. It's a non-political arena, you know. What were you gonna say, Patrick?
The level of control that they're is gonna go out the.
Oh yeah!
It's like that the military is famous for. I come from a military.
Mm-hmm.
The military is famous for ruthless efficiency.
Right.
Like they don't tend to screw around. You know, it's like and a lot of that is because of their directive. They're here to protect us. They're not here to build a big giant bureaucracy.
Right. Yeah. They don't have time for that mess. Like, yeah.
No, that's a whole bunch of nonsense, civilian. If we don't have.
That's
and
right.
So sometimes, like, it's frustrating to expedite things so quickly that you can be like, whoa, 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 wait a second, what's going on? But then other times, like, it makes sense because it's like, look, there's a bad guy over there, go take care of that. We're not going to argue about whether or not we can do that. We're just going to go do that, and we're going to talk about it later.
Right, exactly. So, like, yeah, you can fill out paperwork later.
It's
going to
be a completely, first, we'll deal with the discussions after.
Yeah.
But, like, the normal procedures that everybody's and the people who are going to trial are going to be different. And they're going to be completely out of their element, too. That's like the other part of it. They're going to be really uncomfortable, not a normal court setting.
You can't use civilian attorneys either in that process. If I'm correct on that. It's all military-based. Everything's got to be military from start to finish. It's not like you can hire somebody out of L.A. or New York to represent you, if I'm correct about that. Don't you have to have legal representation that's within the military?
I believe so.
I mean, I'm sure that's something we'll get clarity on here probably pretty soon in the next few months, but I would imagine that would be the case. And again, yeah, that's a totally different beast, too. I mean, picture right now who in the military... Honestly, seriously, when it comes right down to it, who in the military would want to defend John McCain?
Very few people.
Right? I mean, given an opportunity to actually put that man on a stand somewhere and drill him about some stuff, they would love that.
Yeah, don't forget Hillary Clinton and Benghazi, guys.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Big time. And you know what's funny about that? Think about how many people are in or have been recently but have resigned from positions in the White House, in the administration, that are military or so-called retired military. And we all know there's no such thing as retired military. But you look at your folks like your, I don't know, Admiral Rogers and others. You know, these folks are military figures, and because of that, they can be a part of this process. It's just, I mean, it's, you know, it's funny when we bring up things like Tribunal or Gitmo, there's always kind of a little bit of a chuckle that happens in relation to that. And I know it seems kind of morbid probably to people who just don't understand all this process, but it makes me, it wakes me up and it makes me kind of want to move around a little bit. I do get happy thinking about those two kind of things. You know?
So do I.
I just really do. And it's, maybe it's because you, that's like the last area where you get the idea that maybe justice still exists. I don't know, but
exactly
it's just
what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's like we kind of already know what the outcome of any trial should be.
Right.
But like if it's in the military hands, you at least kind of get the feeling that they're going to be fair. You know, if somebody deserves to go to Gitmo, they're going to go. And if they don't, then they're not. And we, at least we feel like we can kind of trust them to do the right thing.
That's right.
Whereas if it was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, it's like we all know what's going to happen with that. It's, you know, it's going to get overturned. They're going to rule with some ridiculous, you know, twisted version of law that with a fifth grade reading level would go, that's not really what that says.
I'm picturing they're going to come down from a mothership and they're not, they don't deal with things from this world. It's like, you know, we don't know.
Yeah,
we need to
true.
Check back in at home. But yeah. So I get excited about
this. What happened in New Mexico, right, guys? I mean, that is ridiculous.
That's a good example.
It's a great example. It is.
For a judge to say you haven't presented me with enough evidence that this person is a danger to society.
It makes you want to dump the bones of that 3-year-old on the judge's desk and go, this isn't enough evidence.
Yes. His own son.
Yeah. Like, it's just crazy.
I can't compute it.
But you know, that judge, it's one thing to let the guys go. That's bad enough. But then to tell them, to order them, you also need to destroy part of the crime scene.
Right. Yeah.
And give no justifications as to why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, why would the judge find it necessary to cover anything up in that? The judge. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, unless the judge was complicit in something else in that process. And
they
maybe
have to be, right?
You would think. Okay, help me out on this, because I really don't get the common sense part of this. Why is it we have so many left-leaning people that are not connected racially, religiously, socially, in any way whatsoever with these criminals that they practically would die for? And I don't get it. I don't understand. And this is going to sound really racist, but what is it about these pasty white leftists defending people they have literally no connecting point with?
Right.
Over their own citizens.
As a non-pasty white leftist, gonna offer my. Brown skin immigrant opinion about it. it's the taking over of academia, really, which then took over the law system by means of education.
So these are all the people that got picked on in school that are now getting revenge?
Well, ever
these are
since
all our
70s,
glue eaters?
People that are going to Ivy League, to the Harvards and Stanfords of the world, people that are getting the best law degrees that will then get them the best jobs and will fast track them through the justice system are Marxist educated people. They are. You just got to look at the history of what's been going on since the 70s.
Right.
With the Ivy League schools in this country, which then disseminated itself to all over the country. It started with the Ivy League. And it's really far and few places now that are not. I think Charlie Kirk just talked about that on a Breitbart podcast. I haven't listened to the whole thing. I just saw the 1 minute clip where he's talking about we lost academia. And once we lost academia, that's a big thing because the pipeline of people that are coming up, it's all they want to realize Karl Marx's dream.
You know, and
that's what it is.
I blame disco. We were all so busy focusing on disco in the 70s that we completely ignored the fact that that academia was turning socialist. We completely missed it. We were so busy with our bell bottoms and our light up dance floors and our John Travoltas and all that kind of stuff that we just completely ignored the fact that we were getting screwed over.
Yeah.
I mean, I joke about it, but you think about it, we really were. We were escaping everything we possibly could escape. And we were distracted by disco.
Well, do you remember that story? I want to say it was last week. There was two Americans were biking in the Middle East that
yes.
things are kind. And they were promptly stabbed to death in Afghanistan.
I mean, it's like, sad. Yeah, it's tragic. It's sad. But it's like...
Their political ideology is the most important thing about them, like in their identity, in their own head.
Right.
Like
right.
It has to be proven correct because it's the ounce of theory versus or the pound of theory versus the ounce of reality.
Yeah.
You know, like they know that their political ideology is a bunch of bunk. They know that it's bullshark, but they have to, like in any way they can, try to interject it into society because normal people would reject their ideas just out of hand because they're crazy. Everybody knows they're crazy. So they have to like subvert the way the system works in order to interject those ideals into the system and see if they work at all or not. Even
That's
though
true.
Everybody knows that they're crazy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Common sense, rational people look at it and go, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
No.
You know? Yeah.
I mean,
what you're
like,
saying about Attila the Hun?
I misspoke. It was Genghis Khan.
Oh, okay. Not that that's any better.
He conquered... Well, yeah, it's not a huge difference, but he conquered Afghanistan, and like in his own like writings, stories about him, basically said, as long as those crazy people give me money, I'll leave them alone, because I don't know that anybody really can conquer them. Sort of like it.
Oh, well.
Two of them.
Yeah.
And like here
crazy.
We have in modern day, that kind of stuff is still going on, and people are like, oh, they're just sweethearts, just like the rest of us. And no,
right.
they're not.
Right.
But you people are insane.
It's not any different than seeing people who think that they can go and they can pet the animals in the zoo, and they get eaten by them, and all this stuff. They just they're under this delusion. Just like, well, okay. Maybe it's worse than where the example I was about to give, because they really have gone to the point now where they believe that plants, that you know, they're proving that plants feel pain. Plants feel pain. And when we look at a world where this is what they're looking at, they're studying plant life, and they're looking into the dreams of animals, and they're trying to determine, you know, when you didn't feed your pet on time, there's psychological damage that happened, or when you didn't give enough sunlight to your plant, you are being abusive to your plant, and it resents you, and all of this kind of stuff. As if we don't have enough tragedy in our world, just between human to human, we've got to feel that we have somehow misrepresented everything and that nature itself hates us. And when we shifted into all that kind of stuff, we lost common sense when it comes to being people. We just don't. We don't focus on that anymore. And I know that seems like a strange rabbit to chase in the middle of all this, but it the same people that are making these arguments were the same ones that are creating things that destroy the planet. They're the same groups creating this stuff. And it's like on one side they create the insecticide, on the other side they tell us how much that the insect is emotionally damaged by what we do to it. But it's the same folks. It's the same form of science. It's the same form of technology that goes in there and does this. It's no different than the people who make the radar detector. They do both sides of the story. And we're supposed to, they're convincing us that they're different people, that there's different purposes behind it, and what's good for you is not necessarily good for me. And if what's good for you hurts my feelings, then what's good for you is evil. And but at the same time, we have a right to be evil to certain human beings because.
But Manto, you're describing people at the top, right? The people at the top control both sides.
I am now. Yeah, at this point, I am now, and it started out as the minority of people, but then they got their position. You know, they went from just being individual people who had these wild thoughts to being the people in control over entire industries. And
right.
Yeah, and so yeah, they're on the top and they're no more rational than they were. They just have all the power now.
But like going back to the couple that were bicycling, right? Which are the same kind of people that were crying and screaming when Trump won.
That's right.
Which is the same kind of people that are slapping all of us on this side of the conservative aisle with hate speech, right?
Right.
And back to your first question, like, why is it that these pasty white people want to always prove...
I've damaged our conversation forever, haven't I? I have. I've completely damaged...
No,
I'm just thinking that... it's never mind. Pasty white people is now the new term.
No, I was just going to say.
They are, though. They are. Anyway.
I mean, my argument in so far as this country goes is this country was, the pilgrims were white. The foundation of this country is white from England, from the British Empire, and should remain that way, otherwise it loses its identity. That's just my opinion as an immigrant who's not from here. I didn't come here to transform the country upside down and to turn the country into a brown way.
Right.
It makes no sense to want to migrate to a country and then transform it into the country you just came from. Most likely the reason you left that country is because it was a shithole to begin with.
Well, there's that.
The country I came from is as corrupt and upside down as it can be. I don't want for this place to turn an ounce closer to the place where I was born. I don't. And the people on the left, right, the liberal white American that don't seem to understand that and then turns on their own brothers and sisters, right, turns on their own citizens, on the people that came from the same family tree as they do, calling every person a white supremacist, a Nazi, a fascist, a what have you, without any truth in it, any factual basis for it, the way they call Trump.
Right? Or they're calling Candace Owens or whoever. Yeah.
Right. But all to say, but we are not. So they're just like winning the race. They're getting there first. It's sort of like they are competing against themselves because the people on the other side are not competing on that race of saying, so long as we call you racist first, then you don't get to call us that, and we won. Because we're here down with this We are down with Islam, and you guys are the Islamophobes.
Right.
Am I making sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's, but see, that's the problem. That's the problem. We're talking common sense. See, that's just
it. Sad thing that
yeah, that's the dialogue we're having. It's not the dialogue that's being presented. I mean, it's getting better. I mean, it's gradual, but it is getting better. You are starting to get some of the writers in some of these media circles are beginning to make comments here or there. I mean, I even heard Juan Williams today make a comment that he slipped up and he actually said, you know, we really don't want to mess with this great economy. And then he kept moving on, and I'm thinking, wow. So he finally admitted it. You know, it's these little things that they're beginning to say now that we know that it's shifting, but, yeah, I mean, it's... You have to wonder how much of what they're doing they honestly believe in, and how much they're doing they're having to program themselves to do. I mean,
programming.
Well, there is, but it's like how much of it are they actually aware they're doing versus how much of it is just kind of like knee-jerk reaction. They just automatically assume that it has to be a particular way, even though it's total nonsense, because they're in opposition to the figures taking part in it. You know? I mean, it's like watching a movie and assuming that certain people in the film are automatically going to be the bad guys, regardless. I mean, and we used to do that. A century ago, you put a white hat. I mean, we talk about it, white hats and black hats. You used to put a certain color hat on a movie figure, and the assumption automatically was this must be the hero versus this must be the villain, and we were programmed to believe it that way. And I wonder how much of the dialogue and things that comes up is just automatically in them to assume, you know, like if you're Republican, here's your story, and we're going to hate you. And they just completely ignore everything that's said at that point. How much of it is intentional, and how much of it they just really can't seem to help. They just do it automatically.
I don't know. I've kind of always felt like... Go ahead.
Patrick? No, you go ahead, my man.
I was going to use, because I'm a nerd, I really feel like a lot of that is, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like Democrats get out there first and say that, hey, we're the good guys. And so everyone just kind of is like, oh, they're the good guys. So you guys must be the bad guys.
Right.
And without like actually investigating, employing any critical thinking, it's like, well, he said that he doesn't hate black people. So that means you probably do if he said that he doesn't. You know, but it's weird, like Jedi mind trick to do on everybody.
I think you've hit it on it because, but you think about it, in order for that trick to be there, they have to be out there making that comment. And the Democrats have been far better. The left in general has been far better about getting out there and screaming and shouting whatever their argument is, even if it's total nonsense. They've been good for generations on screaming their point, while the conservatives out there have sat there and just, we shake our heads and we go, that's just total nonsense, but we don't raise our voices about it. Well, we haven't in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's we've allowed it to happen through our silence.
Patrick, that's exactly what I was saying. The race to who says the racist word first win. It's exactly what the way Patrick described is.
Yeah.
Well, if this side here is calling the other side racist, so then the other side is racist, therefore this side is not.
That's right.
So they're getting absolved of all their sins, of any malfeasance, misfeasance, and whatnot, because they got to shout first in the direction of the other way.
That's right.
Right, in the other direction, on the other side of the aisle.
You know, you think about how ironic all of that is. That analogy. I'm going to get geeky with you, Patrick, because I'm thinking about that whole analogy as you take it further. It only works on for the most part, in that particular environment, and only worked on the troopers. And we all know the troopers have a history of never hitting their mark. They're terrible. And they're expendable. Totally expendable. And you're right. I mean, it only works on the weak-minded.
Because I remember being like a kid in high school employing that kind of critical thinking where it's like, okay, these people say this and these people say that. Let me go the action are, see if that lines up with what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even as a kid, I was like, okay, those people put that up to their eyeball. You know, like, that to me, that's the craziest part about this whole thing is like, how is it that people who have bachelor's, master's degrees, and PhD are stupid enough to get duped by words only? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Nancy Pelosi can get up and say that, I've never eaten a child in my life. Anybody who says otherwise is crazy. And then suddenly that's the new talking point that all these useful morons run around and the hilltop. They don't ever bother investigating any of it.
Okay, I've got to throw this in there in tribute to that. I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this or not, but
this is like giving you a bowl of doggy dew. Put a cherry on top and call it a chocolate sundae.
There you go. There's Nancy's logic.
Yeah.
I've been waiting a long time to use that clip, by the way. And Patrick, you gave me the perfect moment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's exactly what they've given us. They've given us, you know, a bunch of doggy do, and they're saying it's a chocolate sundae. And people have sat back and willingly accepted, you know, it doesn't really taste the way that I want it, but they must be telling me the truth because they wouldn't do me any harm. And we're not buying it anymore. Somebody finally woke up. Trump finally got in there and said, are you looking at that? Now, do you see this dog crap over there? Doesn't it look like it's the same thing? Hey, yeah, it is. Uh-huh. And that cherry, by the way, is costing you your freedom.
I mean, here's the one thing that I experienced. Incredible. The Trump Unity Bridge guy. You guys know about that dude,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The huge floater thing. And he's traveling the country, 48 states, I guess, except Alaska and Hawaii for obvious reasons. He came by, and I don't know, he went to a place where there was like maybe 30 of us down with it, and maybe 70 or 80, 90 maybe, liberals, LA liberals hanging around because it was a car show.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really a Trump rally or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he gets there, and everybody who's pro-Trump and a conservative starts just partying, man, okay? We're just laughing. We're happy. We're taking pictures of this thing. We're doing nothing. We're not shouting anything. We're not making political speeches. We're bothering no one. And people start getting into it. It's like these acts of rage.
How dare you be happy?
How dare you be happy? How dare you be you be on the side of the president who was duly elected? How dare you care about this guy? How dare you? All of these things. And I continue to laugh as I'm laughing right today.
Yeah,
like, it's... you're full of anger, self-hatred. You hate everything.
They do.
And you are calling us that.
They do. I've never seen so many people so miserable with just existence. Ever before. I mean, come on. Is there really something wrong with people being happy somewhere?
And with permits and police and everything, the rally on Saturday at the Hollywood Boulevard still had to end an hour earlier because of the amount of anger
that built
and
up,
aggressive
right?
behavior yeah. towards it.
Yeah. It wasn't the people that were taking part in it. It was the people that didn't want it taking part in the first place.
Correct. It's the people that did not want for an event. They had the permit. They had all the things arranged for it. They didn't want for the event to take place. And the event was about unity. It's called the Unity Bridge. You hear the guy talking about he wants to spread love and unity amongst Americans all over America.
Now, if it had had rainbow colors on it, and I'm not joking, if it had had rainbow colors on it and had nothing else expressed on it other than unity.
Oh, my goodness.
See? People would have been gathering to it. The news would have been covering it. There would have been people, you know, Rachel Maddow would have been letting her fake tears roll down her cheeks over the beauty of this moment. You know, but it's again, it's the it symbolizes the same thing. It's not any different. When somebody conservative is celebrating unity, they're not doing really anything different than when the leftist is supposed to be doing, throwing unity out there, except for the fact that we know that by unity they mean if you're like us.
Yeah, of course. See, but if they're not brainwashed the same way we are, then no.
That's right. That's right.
You got to be pro Ocasio-Cortez because she's got a Latino last name and she's a girl.
That's right. You and you, if you're Candace Owens, you've got to be against the conservative. Otherwise, you are all the things they can call them in the book. You're a turncoat. And I'm using a polite term, obviously. I mean, you're an Uncle Tom. You're all of these different things that go on. And it's just amazing how...
Sarah Sanders.
Well, poor Sarah. I mean, she's a beast. She really is. The stuff she puts up with is unbelievable. But, man, she dishes it back well. I haven't seen a press secretary like her in my lifetime.
Oh no, she's the best there is. But my point is, every woman out there that claims to be pro woman in power and women empowerment and this, that, and the other
hate
just
her.
Craps on her day and night.
Yeah, they hate her. And what's funny is, and I'm not making fun of her. She's a great example of so many things they claim to stand for. Not just the fact that she's strong and powerful in her position, but she's not like. Miss America Beauty.
Right.
See, she doesn't fit into all that structure. She's not everything's perfect about her. I mean, in, not just in size, but in everything. And they should be esteeming somebody like that. But no, you're right. Instead, it's all vitriol. It's all hate because she doesn't represent what they represent. I mean, it's just like Trump can stand in a room full of the village people. He could have leather chaps on and nothing else, standing in the middle of a room full of village people and Chippendale dancers, and screaming to the top of his lungs about how the people in this room are my people, and they would still find a reason to hate him in that environment. And still claim that, and they would actually turn on the entire gay community at that point.
Right.
Suddenly, transgender would be on the out. You know, all of this stuff would happen. Which is a perfect example that they'd stab the back, the face, the neck, whatever, of everything, because they don't really stand behind any of these people they claim to stand behind. None of them.
At all. Zero. And that's the main point.
We, on the other hand, can gather together at an event and laugh and joke and have fun with each other, not know who each other is, not care where we came from, and gather around something and just have fun and leave, and we feel better, we've been lifted up, and we don't even know the people we were with, but all we know is we had a good time.
Right.
We didn't have to get angry. We didn't have to do anything. You know, it was like my comment the other night about how I'm at the garage getting my car fixed, And that guy walks in, and we started up a conversation with each other about mutual things. He volunteers that he was a Trump supporter on his own. And we're just having a dialogue just about just general stuff. And we part our ways, and it was no big deal. No raised voices, no angry looks from people, no issues. We were able to talk with each other and move on. They can't.
Yeah.
They just flat out, I mean, there is something mentally ill with these people.
I have no doubt.
Did you have something, Patrick?
I genuinely believe that a lot of them really honestly think that we are racist and bigots and homophobes, something is, whatever the new, yeah. it for a couple of months. Something a phobe. I really honestly believe that, like, the general storm should really believe that about us.
Yeah.
So, some kind of twisted way, like, in their minds, they can justify how rude, uncivil, ridiculous.
Yeah, they've won a battle somehow if they mistreat us. Right?
Because we deserve it.
Yeah, apparently. Mind. Yeah. But only people like them are going to apologize for being people like us.
Yeah. You can call me racist all you want. I know it's not true. I'm just going to laugh at you.
Exactly. Kidding. That's right. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't get me angry because I just look at them and I feel sorry for them. It's like, if that's what you think is racism, man, I can take you on a trip to some places. You know? We could have, I mean, I could give you the tour.
Found it.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, and it's true. Trump could be pro-oxygen, and liberals would put plastic bags over their own heads. And, you know,
I'm protesting oxygen because Trump is pro-oxygen.
That's right. Now, you know, we laugh about that stuff, but think about this. In the last 2 years, we've had people that have literally set themselves on fire, that have cut off their own anatomy in protest to Trump. Now, where does somebody get somewhere by who rationally looks at their own body and goes, you know what, I'm going to cut that off because I hate Trump so much, and then does it, and then they bleed to death?
Does it hurt Trump?
Well, but it's like, where's the connecting point where that makes sense?
Because current year. Like, it just doesn't. Like, that's really my point.
Yeah.
Reasons.
Yeah.
They don't really have any.
They have no concept of a future.
We're all going to get together.
Yeah.
And we're going to stand outside in a big group, and we're going to scream at the sky because we're going to protest Trump.
Do we have another one? I guess we have another one of those anniversaries coming up, don't we?
Yeah.
We've got another one coming up. That'll be great. Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, the annual screaming at the sky.
Crazy. Oh.
But like, and then to tie up to how we started this, guys, what do you think is going to happen when military tribunals start?
Oh, my word.
Suspects start getting rounded up. Like, heads are going to explode.
Well, they're going to use the term that a dictatorship has taken over, and actual panic. And you mark my words, you're going to have people in parts of the United States that are going to militarize their own police forces and fight our own military in their states. You watch. I hope I'm wrong, but you know how much they've kicked back in some of these locations against everything that's rational and everything that's federally, you know, understood. I can see them turning their local police force into an anti-military involvement, and you literally have our United States military versus local police or local law enforcement fighting each other.
Oh, I believe it. Not only do I believe it, I told my wife, if if nothing happens come election time with the governor of California this year, we got to get out because we are behind enemy lines.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
And like as we were talking before we turned it on, from the chemtrails up in the sky to the forest fires that are started with microwave weapons and so forth.
Right.
They are basically, I bet you, behind closed doors, the high-level deep state agents and the alliance, the white hats, the people with Trump, whatever you want to call them, are negotiating with these states that they are, they still own, they still have it, yeah. Right? This, yeah. They still are the governors and the senators and the representatives of it, saying, you don't do the, you start pushing us this way, we're going to do this yeah. to citizens, to people.
Yeah.
Because well, it's happened every time something goes on here. We want to take away sanctuary city laws and policy. Oh yeah, forest fire.
That's right.
We want to take away the. We are sending the military to your borders. Oh yeah, more forest fires, water ration, power outage. Straight up happens all the time here in LA.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So.
It really is fantasy land when it comes to that. I mean, it's Jerry Brown.
Governor Moonbeam. He gets called that for a very good reason.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And now it's Bluebeam.
He's not from this
right?
planet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, now it's Bluebeam.
Project Bluebeam. Anybody want to look that up? That's a rabbit
that's
hole.
That's right. It's, yeah. Yeah. And it's real, man. Yeah. I mean, and you know what's funny is that all those things, speaking of that, Patrick, you know, it's, we've talked about things like that in the past, but we haven't had photographic evidence of this stuff. And yet this stuff is beginning to prop up. You're finding photos, videos, people are capturing these things. And yeah, the reality of it is coming out.
That to me is probably like the scariest thing because I've always been kind of a conspiracist light. It's the way I like to describe myself.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the further into these rabbit holes we get, just like, good God, like, all of this stuff is, like, every time, like, Q hints at something over here, over there, and it's just, like, everything. Everything I thought was, like, moderately kind of crazy, microwave weapons, I mean, come on. And then you look at the, it's just right. the houses that are burnt, none of the,
you can't deny that. You can't deny that. I mean, it's no. right there, you know, and it's like, yeah. I mean, the truth is Storm, you could go in and travel into some of these areas and you'd see it firsthand. And yeah, this stuff's real. Just like you can't hide things that happened in Vegas because you know that there were too many people that have seen too many angles of things. And there were videos early on of things that we knew, firsthand accounts from people during all of that. And same thing went on in Florida with the shooting down there and the different things that began to crop up in that. At the very beginning, we're seeing evidence of all this stuff, and then it disappears.
People wind up dead. Seriously.
Yeah, seriously. Let's look at the two celebrity figures whose doctors have just been killed by car accidents. Let's just look at that. The Queen lost her doctor, and H.W. Bush lost his, both in car accidents. Why are we suddenly losing these doctors, right? In the same way. And that's something that nobody would have ever made a connection before. But it's, I mean, they're just, I don't even, I'm at a loss for words because in the past it's all been theory. And now it's a common occurrence. It's there. We know it's there. People are watching this stuff. They're reading any of these things, and they can't deny it. And you're right. I mean, it's like you keep opening up this new layer of stuff. And, you know, chemtrails is the simple stuff. It's the blue beam, yeah. And it's these other things that are just massive. I look at Monsanto, and one of the things that really scares me about Monsanto is that you know who just purchased them.
Bayer,
as in the people you used to trust. I mean, it was like this. It's Bayer medicine. It's you know, it's Bayer aspirin. It's these are the folks. This is supposed to be the basis of medicine, right? And they just purchased a chemical company that just got sued what is it, 275 million? Is that what it is? Or is it... 289 million. And explain to me how people, a company that makes weed killer fits in with a company that makes medicine. Right? You can't.
You sell the disease and sell the cure.
You know, and because of that, it makes me, as much as you don't want to believe in things like, you know, fetuses and things in foods, you don't want to buy into that, you don't want to believe it. But when a company like Bayer buys a company like Monsanto, suddenly the baby parts thing in your Pepsi products and your Frito-Lay and these different things in there isn't so alien. And then you have to deal with the fact that, okay, are we really consuming this stuff? And if we are, how do you stop consuming it? And why did they put it in their first place? And all of that. And if we like it because of what's in it, we have to continue to produce it with the stuff that's in it. And it's that vicious cycle. And it kind of made me wonder about, you know, the old Coke versus the new Coke. What really happened with our recipes? Why did things change? Why did KFC go from their original recipe to their other stuff? Why are all these companies changing what they're doing? When something comes out new and improved, what does that mean now?
Well, why did KFC drop the word chicken from their brand?
I hadn't even thought about that. Thank you very much. I could have gone all night, Storm, without thinking that the chicken's not chicken now.
Sorry.
But you, gee, I mean, like, chicken's what we substitute for everything else, and now you're telling me maybe I ought to think about whether the chickens are real or not.
This is why I don't get invited to many parties, you know.
All right. Weird guys here.
You know, here we are. Okay, and if you're listening tonight and you were consuming food on a regular basis, you know, sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, it's over now.
Well, so to counter that, the message being do a little research about everything. Don't ever take my word for it. I don't ask anybody to take my word for it in anything. But do research, especially if you have kids that are consuming these things from day one, from young age.
That's right.
There's research into frogs changing their genitalia.
Okay. All right, Alex. Okay, Alex. XX. All right, Alex. You've got the gruff voice, but now you gotta.
There's a freaking frog's gay.
He's got to. Yeah, exactly. He's got to rip his shirt off now. That's the next stage. Gee. But no, you're right. I mean, there is some of that. I mean, you have to ask yourself, these things are happening for a reason. Gee.
Like, it's strange. Like, we need to research from vaccines, which I know is stuff that Image talked about before that she researched quite a bit.
Yeah.
As did me and my wife when we were first having kids, to chemtrails, to foods, to then what you guys are talking about with the microwave weapons. I mean, I looked into, like, there's some trees here in California, they burn from inside out.
Yes, I've seen some of the photos of that. Yeah. It's crazy. They look like lava lamps almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so why? Why do we have the need for all of this? I mean, are we that bored that we just have to just come up with new weird ways to destroy things? But we're just all part we're a test tube. Do what, Patrick?
I honestly believe that, like, at some point, people that have access to things that these sorts of people have access to, there's nothing in their life that they don't need, and there isn't anything they don't have that they don't want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, at that point, they're just kind of sitting around bored going, well, I wonder if I could, like, some sort of orbital death ray.
Right.
I wonder what that would be like.
It's true.
Because they've
got
the money to do it, and they spent all their money on toys, and they've got money left over, and they're just like, no, give this a shot.
And we've got plenty of people that are expendable.
That matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, they really do view us as sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they're like, power and control is the only thing I don't have. I've got all the money I could ever spend. And why not? Like, it's almost like they're bored. They don't have anything.
I think you're right. That is exactly what it is. They're just experimenting with things to see if they can. It's like that MK Ultra video that was I think it was ABC News, I think. Or maybe it was 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes that created the program in the first place, I think. And they never ended up airing it, but you can find it online, obviously. And it has on there, and I think that he appears in D'Souza's new movie, in fact. But they interview one of the scientists, a part of this thing, and they legitimately asked him, did you not think about the human ramifications of what you were doing to these people? And the guy, I mean, just as straight-faced as ever, it's almost like he had literally never thought of that idea until he was asked that question. And he was like, well, no, I can't say that we really ever gave it any thought.
Yeah, it's all for science.
Yeah.
It's all for science. I mean, you guys probably saw George Soros' 60 Minutes interview.
Oh, his stuff is... Yeah, his stuff is chilling. Well, first of all, he's self-proclaimed himself as God before.
Right. But is... Like, did you realize, like, these people are going to death camps, and was there ever any conflict with you being a Jew and these people going? No, no. Mm-hmm. I understood that if I wasn't there, somebody else would have been there, so...
It was going to happen anyway. Yeah, it was going to happen anyway. Speaking of him, I understand that he got kicked out of another country. I had seen that in the last couple of weeks. That, yeah, he got kicked out and that no explanation was given. He was just, he was deported from yet another country. I mean, and you do know, and I'm trying to remember which country it was in Europe that had passed their anti-Soros bill or whatever it was. And they literally were, they were literally casting him out from their country. Who was that? Do you remember?
I want to say it's... They've been pretty active.
Who was it? You dropped out there.
Hungary.
Hungary.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Hungary.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean,
maybe Poland is doing a really great job as being like one of the few European Union countries that are mainly nationalist and not open borders as the rest of them.
Well, they figured it out. They had a little guy with a mustache that came into their territory, and it screwed them over. And so they were like, screw all of y'all. We're not getting into any of this stuff anymore. If you don't look like us, we don't want you, man.
I really think that's what it is, especially for those Eastern Europeans. Because there's people alive in those countries that remember what it was like to live under the
They learned that lesson.
When the European Union starts doing a lot of the similar things, like their parents and their grandparents are like, we did that already. We're not doing that again.
That's
you
right.
Guys can kick rocks.
That's right. Yeah, it's not going to happen. And then when the rest of the Union goes, we're going to fine you. Fine my ass. I don't care.
Okay.
We've already proven we can out-survive. Yeah, we can make it. We survived. We survived Germany. We can survive you.
And you still owe us reparations from World War II.
That's right.
You got
Finland in the middle of that too, and they're the only ones that paid the U.S. back after World War II. Finland was, and so you don't ever hear anything going on in Finland if you think about it. They don't make the news with any of this stuff. And it's the same thing. It's a much smaller scale. But, yeah, if Europe could be more like Poland, man, they'd be rocking right now.
And it's getting there, right? I mean, Italy...
They're
Italy's
working on
turned.
It. Yeah, Italy is turning. Yeah. Thank God.
And now there's huge nationalistic protests and movements and projects happening in France and the UK.
Mm-hmm.
because people are tired of the flood of Muslims just destroying their country.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when you think about it, it's a combination of things. It's the Muslims coming in and destroying it, but it's their government allowing it to happen too. So they're having to fight both sides. They've got no protection from their own leadership.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're fighting back. And yes, you do have, for people who are listening that aren't making the connections, you do have Trump to thank for that. The change in the tide in America is affecting the change in the tide in Europe. And you can claim that it's not all you want to, and you can be wrong as long as you do it. Because it does. We don't have to be over there in order for our influence to be there. When we started weakening, Europe started weakening. And you can't blame Russia for that. Russia is not to blame for what's happening in Europe. That's not a Russia thing.
No.
That's European leadership over there in general. They caused that problem, not the old former Soviet Union. And they can claim Russia all they want to, and it's never going to mean anything. Just like America is the way that it is now, not because of some other country. It is by our own leadership choice. And
right.
If we shift it, Europe knows they can shift it, and it has to happen a little bit at a time. And that's exactly what's happening. We're regaining some of these nations again who are getting some common sense. Now, some of them, you wonder, it's like, is there anything left for you to regain? I mean, you should have been doing this 10 years ago, but at least they're fighting. And when we get to the point where we see that they can win that battle, I have imagined that you'll see us more presently involved in those countries helping them do that shift. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, personally, I don't have a problem with that. Because, I mean, the end goal is that we have a safer world. We have a better world going. And so, I don't have an issue with that. As long as we don't go putting troops on the ground in places we don't need to be for reasons we don't need to be there. And we've done that in the previous administrations, and I just don't see Trump doing that. It just doesn't strike me as the kind of thing he would do, despite what you hear. You know,
restoration.
Yeah.
Right? It's the restoration of national and cultural pride.
That's right.
It's the restoration of the sovereignty of each nation to take care of your own first.
That's right. And so if every nation is doing that, we work better together.
Yeah. And then you can be partners and allies.
That's right. But I mean, it works in a family. It works in a relationship. Why would it not work internationally?
Right.
It's the same concepts. If you take care of your own self, if everybody involved in the relationship takes care of themselves, then everybody can contribute better as a group. And there you go. I mean, you all can survive better. And you have to put less effort in. But initially...
And you eradicate...
And you eradicate what?
You eradicate globalism with that.
That's right.
If everybody's a sovereign nation, globalists are gone.
That's right.
I mean, at least that concept of a one world order to go away.
We've had some figures, we've had some strange ones that would love to have seen a lot of nations gather together and, you know, people we put trust in the past, but the truth is there. And it takes somebody, you know, from the outside to do it. And that's what we're seeing. Okay, we didn't really even cover any Q tonight. We didn't have a need, I guess, really to cover Q tonight. Now, I mean, there's content.
Sorry for the...
The content tonight...
The
No, we're good. The content over the weekend with Q was different anyway. It's really kind of talking about these same kind of concepts. It's the diversions and the shifts and things, and that's really where Q is focusing right now anyway. It's more in your face, just like Jeff Sessions, you know, for those folks that have been doubting Jeff Sessions this whole time and they still had trouble with Q saying that, you know, to trust Sessions, you can't get any more obvious than Sessions tweeting out his video, and in one of the tweets, he quotes Q, saying, you know, you have more than you need to know. Hello. Sessions is one of the guys. He's on the inside, and despite what the outer image is, he's been the guinea pig, and he's rightfully playing his role in all of this. And so for all those doubters out there, there's your proof. You were wanting to know what's the story with Sessions. Without Sessions, you didn't have Hubber. Without Hubber, you didn't have a true, clean investigation going on up there. And just hold out a little bit longer because we're almost there. Okay, so that's the spill for tonight. We went about 5 minutes over again. This is our typical whatever happened because I can't shut up. But we'll pick back up Wednesday night. Hopefully, we'll actually be able to get some more Q in involved in this. I appreciate the input tonight, guys. As usual, we need all of this. And so we'll be back Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, and all over the planet elsewhere. And until then, hug on your family. Pray for your neighbors. Good night and God bless.